Okay, Mary Winston, members of the council, Sean Conley, Fire Chief, thank you for your opportunity to speak to you tonight in this special meeting about fire department staffing. I allegedly made promises to a 15-minute presentation. I'm going to try and keep that promise.
Wait, it was 10 earlier today.
It was 10. I need a little grace period.
Yeah, I laughed when you said that.
He told me 15.
I don't know.
He told you 15?
Timekeeper is. I got smarter as the evening went on.
Mayor Math and Fire Chief Math are very similar.
So true. That's why I have wonderful people behind me to do the math for me. Before I get started, I just want to introduce the team tonight. My intent is to be able to provide perspective and answer any questions that you all have by the people who are working in the fire department and owning some of those components of our staffing. So Fire Marshal Jeff St. Martin, Professional Standards Deputy Chief Johan Palmieri, there's so many terms.
Our Jamie.
Yeah, our Jamie, keeps us all in line. Chief Smith, Battalion Chief, Chief Miller, Battalion Chief, Chief Dan Smith, Battalion Chief as well. And so our three Battalion Chiefs, you're going to be hearing from them specifically some of the components of the staffing and how they have to work through some of that. So five components tonight: staffing considerations, some of the financials, the recommendations, and the impact. From our emails this weekend, you know, we had to brown out a company, and that was due to the limited staffing. What this slide is showing you is that we are authorized, our end strength of 42 operational personnel. That does not include administrative staff. That's why you see the grayed out portion of the org chart. We are focusing on operational staff tonight. Everything in red, that is 42. That is what we are authorized to hire to. per shift, that's one battalion chief and then 13 firefighters, a combination of captains, three captains per shift, and 10 remaining firefighters. What you'll see in that right lower corner is you're going to see just a couple iterations of this throughout the evening, and that's just as a person working on an engine company, and what does that represent? So currently we are in a unique situation. We have 12 vacancies. That is significant when you consider those 12 vacancies are coming from our 42. These are people who are not able to contribute to the daily staffing. For the reasons under the leave, whether they're on probationary status, which there are three components, we have been trying to hire these people for the last 4 to 5 months. They graduate on Friday. We got an email from me inviting you to graduation, and we're going to honor their commitment on Friday. And just to put into perspective, those three firefighters, they're in a probationary staff. They do not count against our daily staffing because they're new employees. They don't know necessarily how the city of Broken Park operates, let alone the fire department, even though they may have some of the credentials and the training to be firefighters. It is our job to set them up for success and to encourage them as they are learning to work more independently. So they do not count against our staffing, and they won't count for about 6 to 12 months. We need to ensure that they are or have been trained up to our staffing standards, to include working independently to where we actually can count them. Now, some of the variations of when we can count them as staffing is people coming from other fire departments, that is who we focus on because that's who we are needing right now, is people who are in the career, able to understand the skill sets of a firefighter, and we need to teach them the nuances of the Broken Park Fire Department. The remaining people who are on leave for any number of reasons, whether it's military or FLMA or medical leave, and there's two employees that one has returned. As of today, return to light duty in hopes of getting that person ready to return to shift work, but there's no definitive date. Another person in a similar status is returning to light duty, but again, no end date for when they can work on a street. One thing I do want to highlight here is of those people who are on leave, we are preparing for vacancies for 4 to 5 of them for different reasons. And the only reason why I'm sharing that is because as we were talking about a staffing need and what does that look like, it takes us 90 days to go through a hiring process, followed by another 6 to 12 months to get them prepared to work independently. And this is the strategic work that this team has been doing to prepare this department to respond to the city's needs. We're not talking having the ability to hire and put them right into service. They're not plug and play. So even as we're having this conversation this evening, we are also cognitive of the fact that 4 to 5 of them may not return to service. We will know more about that in about October. Yes, Councilmember McGarry.
Excuse me, can we ask questions now? Or just quickly, could you, through the mayor, sorry.
Go ahead.
Could you define, you said they're not ready to work independently. What's work independently in a fire department?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor Winston, members of the council, Councilmember McGarvey, working independently means that we could assign them to a shift in an engine company and they know how to talk on the radio, what the mutual aid auto aid agreements look like, what's expected of them when they get on a fire scene, all without needing to lean on a fellow firefighter. They understand the process. And this is very dynamic because, as you know, we've had a significant year. I mean, 2 nationally, arguably worldwide events. And these type of incidences, they're making truly life and death decisions every day. And because of that, it has become more complex and complicated because of the limited staffing. So when we feel, and there's a number of steps that they need to meet based on working with their supervisor and their battalion chief, we need to make sure that they have demonstrated the skills to work on a 2-person engine. Ideally, it's a 3-person engine or a 4-person engine, but if there's only 2 people, and this is going to come up because we have some statistics for you to just show where we've been over the last 5 years in hiring and how new our department is. So we really try to set them up for success, but it does take time for them to feel even confident working on the engine with one other person. And that's all skills. That's pulling a hose, that's doing forceful entry, that's cardiac arrest management, medical practices, those types of things. We're in a continuous mode of training to be able to help them reach that level of confidence. What you'll see here in this slide is just really some operational highlights. We've predominantly been operating with 2-person engine companies, and as we move towards the browning out, meaning we don't have the operational staff to put those engine companies into service, we are currently in this risk. The next forecasted brownout will be on the 7th, and I would expect that we would keep to that. And that means we've had staff working 48 to 72 hours. We won't let them work beyond 72 hours without a 24-hour break. That's ideally what it is. But when you think about those times, and I do want to share, this schedule is based on a 29-12 annual work hours, where those of us on 40-hour work week, we work 2,080 hours in a year. They're working 29-12, so they're working more than what we are on a 40-hour work week. And that's compounded, and as you're going to see, that's compounded based on the needs and the hours that we're asking them to work. So we would expect slower times, just solely based on work rest cycles. The challenge is then moving towards the demand that we're asking them to work, we have had an increase in injuries. We know that they're tired. We're watching this. We're scaling back on some of the aspects of training. We meet every 2 weeks operationally to discuss any challenges, but we are in constant conversation of what is the need and how do we address changes while we're in this unique period. And I would say this, it is unique. It's not common to have this number of people in an absence or on a leave. So even for the challenges that you see here, and I've got a slide coming up here that's going to show you a little bit more about our staffing, and it's this. Of those 42 people, that's 14 per shift. We have only been able to work with 14 people per shift in 2024, 4% of the time. We have not been able to do that in 2025. And I'm trying to keep it positive, but paint a realistic and a responsible picture for you, is forecasting the staffing needs for what's to come. That's just the numbers that we have today. That doesn't address any retirement vacancies and or injuries or sick or people that potentially would leave for other opportunities. So of that 14, we have been hiring back in overtime and predominantly getting to this 12. And you're going to see a slide coming up about leave, and I'm not going to steal the battalion chief's thunder because they're going to be able to speak to a little bit more specifics on that, and I want you to hear that from them. But what you see in this slide is how many times we're actually able to work with the staff that we've been authorized to hire compared to what do we have to hire back for just to get to 12. And I would also share that even with our overtime budget, because of this nuance that we're in, the cost of paying overtime has increased substantially. So with that, I'd like Chief Miller to come and speak to this example of staff.
Thanks, Chief. Mayor Winston, council members, what I would like to speak to on this is taking a look at what it takes to fill a shift. This is not an abnormal day for us as of recent. And so for us, as battalion chiefs, we can work on trying to get hold of individuals to come in and work for us to fill these shifts. And it can take us up to 4 or 5 hours to finally get through the entire list of people to get them to see if they can work. And then that's on the voluntary side, and then we have to go through and try and force if there's people that are available to force. We typically work a 56-hour work week, and you see here we have individuals who aren't available to work for us because they've worked 120 or 108 hours in that week prior. And so we're challenged to get people in here to work these shifts. And these are firefighters who have seen their families for 12, maybe 24 hours in the past 7-8 days. And so it's a serious challenge for us. So the financial example for this, the impact that it has for us, is we have some of our firefighters, some of our captains are actually taking home more in their overtime pay than they're making in their regular paychecks. Albeit everybody loves money, there's a sacrifice to that. And so that's a fiduciary, it's not responsible for us to keep paying this kind of overtime for that kind of work. And it's not responsible for our personnel to work that much. But they're dedicated and they'll do it.
Thank you. And we use this as an example to also give you an understanding that we are into the weeds on the budgeting and we are watching these trends. We're paying very specific attention to what it costs to operate the shift to include the department, all the while trying to stay within budget. This slide, the takeaway from it, and you can read this, this is average. This is just firefighter, captain, average. It's just to help, don't memorize the numbers. It's just to help give you just a little oversight on what are we paying on averages. And then lastly, the big red arrow points to the fact that in the fire service, it's not common practice to mandate people to come back to work. It is not, regardless of the size of the fire department, to say, you just finished your shift. You aren't going home. You're staying here because of our obligation to serve the community. We don't have anybody else to replace you. We need you to stay. I want to get out of this as fast as I can, just because I know they can't keep up with this. So when we look at how do we compare ourselves to other fire departments or cities and models, people are they're running to get to where we are today. So for all the investments into this fire department to move it to a full-time fire department, it's Minneapolis, it's us, it's Edina, it's Burnsville. Everybody else is either a paid-on-call model or a limited full-time model. And St. Louis Park is one of those as well that was coming on board recently for full-time staffing. So I share that because they're trying to get to where we are. Okay, Chief Smith, can you share the slide?
Okay, yeah. For those visual, Mayor, Council members, for those visual people like I am, this slide is just going to iterate kind of where we're at and how we progress through the numbers here. So 13 members plus the BC for a 14 full shift. We allow 3 on vacation scheduled per shift, per day. So if that happens, then we're down to 10 plus the BC, so that we need to have 3 come in on overtime to make up for that 14. And then a lot of times, the bat phone, our shift commander phone that we pass along with the battalion chiefs, at this time of night, will ring or text, and it'll be a firefighter that says, I cannot come in tomorrow, I'm sick, for whatever reason. Then we get a sick call, shift goes to the minimum of 9 plus a BC, and then now we're going even one more to come in on overtime for 14. And then the X's really illustrate what's going on there. And if we have 9 that are out on leave, we can't fill those positions with an FTE, so it's got to come out of overtime. And then I want you to pay attention to this red box here. So with the staffings at 14, there's no room for employees, vacation days, sick days, holiday, leaves, without being less staff than the city's, than what we need, and in or incurring overtime expenses for all what you see up here.
Thank you. So our recommendation is we've started this hiring process that the 3 are coming off of. We have 4 left on that eligibility list. We would hire those 4 today, meaning we vetted those candidates, and we would hire those 4. Everybody else that had applied for these positions, we would repost. And we're prepared to repost for vacancies or build a bench now. So what I've asked our team to do is post for open firefighter positions, the caveat to build a bench, which makes an eligibility list to hire immediately. So the recommendation would be to absolve the list that we have currently. We did reach out to those 4 candidates. We had 5, but 1 had taken a position elsewhere. This is kind of the climate that we're in right now. Police and fire, paramedics, same thing. Everybody's trying to get their hands on everybody else. But we do have 4 that are committed if we were awarded those positions. And then as we are talking about this position, 4/26/27, what that next budget cycle looks like for us to do some responsible planning. Again, it's unique that we have 12 vacancies, but as you saw in some of those examples, we just aren't able to absolve or absorb any of those people who go on leave for any reasons. If we do allow 3 people off per shift, it immediately puts us into 2-person engine companies. Out east, west, north, and then 3 people here, or 4 people here, but then 1 sick call, now we're 3 across the board. If anyone else calls in sick for any reason, we have to take that ladder out of service because we won't operate that size of a truck with 2 people. It's not ideal to operate it with 3 for all the reasons of the size and the complexity of it. But I do view that as a reduction in service being provided to the community. There's a reason Minneapolis and St. Paul and other fire departments have engines, ladders, and rescue companies, and for what we have put that, or why we put that ladder in service. When we get down to that 2-person, that's 8 people on a shift, we remove the ladder from service, we then take a reserve engine, and we put 2 people on a reserve engine. Beyond that, which we experienced this weekend, we had to operate with 3 engines, not 4. So we do want to continue the conversations. We understand, and I truly understand, and I appreciate all of your time, Latonya's time, budgeting, planning. I hope we never are in this situation again. I hope we can work beyond this. It does take a lot of time to hire 3 to 4 months, get them here, another 6 to 12 months, where they can work independently. So when we talk about adding staffing, we're a good year and a half out before they are working on their own. And the city is only growing. And so we know that that is potentially going to become a challenge as well. Yes, Councilmember Bronski.
The four candidates that you guys have on the bench currently, yes. Are they already firefighters?
They are.
So they come in at least at that level of training? Okay.
Yes. Just we won't have to spend money to train them. Okay. So this is the last slide that we have for you, is actually what does the impact allow for us in staffing. The three that will graduate Friday, from what we've talked about and where they're at, we're looking 6 to 12 months down the road for them to count as staffing and to work independently. So that, in a worst case scenario, would be August of 2026. The four that we would put into place right now, that's going to take us anywhere from 45 to 60 days from the time that we do their backgrounds, medical, they give their 2 weeks. We then put them in a month-long onboarding process, and then they would start. So we're already pushing that December-January timeline for the four that we have on the bench right now. So you can see how this is kind of complementing one another when we were talking about adding staffing, but it doesn't fix our problem immediately. And so with that, Town Chiefs, anything that you guys wanted to add to the impact to share from a perspective standpoint? Okay. Sounds good. Then that's all we have for you.
Can I just do all my questions at once, Mayor? Okay. Thank you. We hear you. I hear you. Thank you. And thank you. I understand. I'm speaking eyes because we've all talked about it, but I want everyone to have their own voice here. So thank you. Here's my question, so they're a little scattered. So my thought is four enough? And I know there is a need for someone to train and not be pulled off of somewhere, because then we have somebody or multiple people coming up to help with that transition. I don't know the right words for that. Is four enough for the immediate need? It feels, so just correct me and whoever wants to answer this, it feels that some of those folks that are out right now need some hope and some direction and some relief. And hopefully that will help some come back, because I feel like some of them are affected because of this. And the thought that they may not be coming back is because what are they coming back to? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, Mayor Winston, members of the council, Councilmember Page, four is not enough to get us out of this crisis. That's all we have vetted so far. And I do want to, from a team standpoint, I understand the impact. I understand the investments that you've all made into this fire department, and I understand that there's opportunities for us to be responsible about what that looks like. It's not enough. But that's what we have available to us.
Can I keep going on my questions? Okay, here, thank you. But by comparison of budgets at similar cities, we are way under budget. So a bigger conversation is having a bigger budget to support not only what we need now, but what the growth plan that we have as far as our biotech area, et cetera, right? So that is also part of our forward thinking that we need to do. But right now it's immediate relief, right? So immediate need is, and then like a year one, year two, year three plan, is that what you see, or is that what you?
Yes, so Mayor Winston, members of the council, Councilmember Page, I have done a lot of research just on, we have standards nationally for staffing. And those are part of the conversation I believe we should be having for 26, 27. Real high level, put it into perspective, state of Minnesota, there's four cities between 80,000 and 90,000. That's Woodbury, Bloomington, Duluth, and us. Duluth, flat since the 90s in population growth. I'm sorry, did I miss one, Jay?
Plymouth.
There's 76. But we can go with clinic, and I'll be happy to add them. Duluth, population growth flat since the 90s. 8 stations, 125 firefighters, operating budget $23 million. Bloomington, they're on a fast track to add 80 firefighters. They have a combination department, their budget $21 million. Woodbury has 137. This is just based on information that it can get that's public and then asking friends. 137 firefighters in a combination full-time, part-time department, and they're in that 15 to 17 million, but double check me on Woodbury because we have somebody who lives in that area.
No, they don't have 137 firefighters, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
And then we've gone from 8.3 to 9.6 million this year. We have 42 firefighters, 51 staff total, 88,000 people. And that's just high-level comparison for budgets. Okay. It's not that we need...
So I want to finish this and then Council.
And it's not that we need 8 stations. I'm not asking for that. But we do have to have a conversation with the growth of the city, a 4-station model to a 5-station model. And what are the standards to meet the response times based on our ISO conversations that we've been having? And those are national requirements. And so I don't want to... Like, when we're talking numbers, that's like big numbers, and we're into the weeds on getting the most up-to-date, and that's just what's kind of been available. But as that combination departments, there are some opportunities to just pare that down, especially if Woodbury doesn't have 137 firefighters.
Oh, dear. Councilor Tran.
Thank you. I see that you have here military leave. So if a person is serving in our city, it looks like there's no military draw anymore, right?
Yeah, Mayor Winston, members of the council. Council Member Tran, we do have 2 members on military leave. One has orders for 1 year to be extended to a 2nd year, and our 2nd member is on orders until November of 25, and then ideally he returns back to us.
So that's a mandatory or option?
Mandatory. Cities have to comply with military leave.
And then my second question is, for how long this shortening of staffing going on?
How long has this been going on?
Yeah.
That's a good question. We've carried those 3 vacancies. We've been trying to hire them since last fall. And there was, we were working through that, and one didn't finish his onboarding process and left. So we've now, from January of this year, going through that process, we've had 1 hiring off of that list. And then when we've had some people leave, we had 3 positions that we are hiring, and those are the 3 that are graduating on Friday. So from that part, we will be finished with that list, and all of the 42 all of the 42 positions will have a name associated to that position. Whether they're here or not, meaning whether they're working, that's what you see the 12 vacancies, but they are currently employed with the city.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Just 2 questions, Chief and staff. Does the amount of overtime cause any increase to our work comp insurance premiums or any other kind of insurance premiums? Mm-hmm.
Mayor Winston, members of the council, Councilmember McGarvey, not that I'm aware of, that's based on an injury score, if I understand it correctly. Okay. So the overtime, no, but the para retirement that we pay, yes, that does increase the amount that we pay because it's percentage based paid into a firefighter's retirement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can Can we get, that would be an interesting number to know, the additional cost of overtime compared to the cost of FTE.
We will work that out for you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And then my second question is, what percentage of the calls of Brooklyn Park Fire Department are medical?
70%.
70?
70.
And that's been since we are a full-time fire department?
It's fluctuated a little bit from 2019 as the call volume and these call types are identified in the county. Back in 2019, the fire department took what's considered a low acuity call, meaning like I haven't been feeling well for 2 weeks. We removed that back in 2019. So we weren't necessarily responding to those because they were non-emergent. And because they're non-emergent, those types of scenarios, they were dispatched in a different way. Do either one of you want to provide some perspective on that?
I think the, Mr. Mayor, Council, I think the perspective of we were able to shed some of our call volume by getting rid of these, or stop responding to some of these low acuity calls. But we've gained that back plus in the time that from the time that we shed those calls to now. And so it's although we were trying to shed workload because we didn't really need to be there, we're finding that the more important calls have increased and our workload has increased because of that.
So Mike, the end point of that question is then what did we do in Brooklyn Park prior to having a full-time fire department for emergency medical calls?
Still responded to the same call types, but as the population growth has increased, so has the amount of the calls that's increased.
So we haven't picked up ambulance work, per se?
No, sir.
Okay.
One thing we have done to improve the service to our community is this last year, we completely realigned our medical protocols with North Memorial and our medical direction. And at the time, we were at 13 paramedics down to 11. I think we're at 8. We're at 8 now. There's 8 paramedics in the fire department. And what we've done is because at that time, about 3 years ago, we were anticipating delays in response for North Memorial. We wanted to be able to increase the service of because our number one call type is shortness of breath. But that can mean chest pain, that can mean heart attacks, that can mean a number of things. But we've been wanting to improve that standard of care while we're waiting for an ambulance. Now, we've been tracking that. We have not seen any delays in those responses from North Memorial. They're our primary service provider. And we've got a great working relationship, but we've been increasing the standards of the medical care that we provide in the last 3 years.
So we're first responders?
Yes.
And we're just keeping them alive until the ambulance gets there, basically?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Just my last question. So, and this, I know it's cringy, I don't even want to look at your faces, but I know sometimes when fire departments will have like their open house or they'll have an event, they'll have another department come in and help. Is there an opportunity for respite for that, or is that not a thing for some type of relief, especially in the near future with just the stress?
Great question. So Mayor Winston, members of the council, Councilmember Page, it's taken this team 2 years to solidify mutual aid auto aid agreements with all of our surrounding communities that touch our borders. 2 years. The last agreements were in 1985. So when we started that work, it was to improve our response times within our community, and if we couldn't provide that, we needed somebody to be able to come in. So what have we done to improve that? We've improved our ISO score through multi-agency, multi-jurisdictional training. Maple Grove, they're the last ones to get on board, but I've got a good relationship with their new fire chief, and we're going to get them signing that agreement here. probably within the next 2 months. And so they're going to be added to our call types. So on a house fire, to just help you kind of look at the numbers that we're talking. The National Fire Protection Agency, NIST, NFPA, you know, their research says you need 17 people on a common house fire. 17. That's the magic number. We don't have 17 people on shift. That means if we go to a house fire, we dump out the system and the city is vacant. We require anybody else, wherever the call is in the city, from Coon Rapids to Anoka-Champlin to Osseo to now soon to be Maple Grove to Plymouth to West Metro, Crystal Newhook, and then Brooklyn Center. We need them and Fridley to come into Brooklyn Park and run our emergencies. So we do that on a regular basis. We have been doing that, and I just give you the background on that so you understand how we've been trying to foster relationships and improve response times for everybody. But the last thing I can say about that is that 17, that magic number is for Minneapolis, it's for Eden Prairie, it's for anybody. And so we need that number of people on a standard house fire just like they need it. So now, because when we were operating with three people typically on an engine, that changes the service they're getting in an agreement. So that shorts them on the number of firefighters that are on the scene. And so when we are all short firefighters, what once took us one engine company to do the work, now the battalion chiefs need to call in two engine companies because that's only four people to do maybe one of the calls here in the city. 33% of our time, there's two or more adjacent areas in the city that are vacant because two or more calls are happening at one time. So now, this is why it can get complicated. At some point, we're going to have more people coming into the city to respond to calls because we're not able to meet that need, just like they are going to require more people. And this is, believe me, this is a state of Minnesota issue. This is a metropolitan area issue. This isn't just Brooklyn Park. We're on the fast track, and believe me, we're way out front compared to some jurisdictions.
Thank you, Mayor. This is probably a question for Director Green if she's on there. I don't think any of us would disagree about the need for four staff, but it looks like it's about $533,000, so I don't know if Director Green is on here. I don't see her.
She is.
Yeah.
Latonya, can you hear us okay?
Director Green, can you hear us?
Okay. Director Green, the question is, where do we shift some of the money from? Or is there money allocated for emergency expenditures or staffing needs like this?
There is some funding that would be in the contingency that we could potentially use, but we have, you know, we still have to weigh that with other costs that we might have throughout the year.
What do we have in the contingency?
It's not quite $300,000.
Other ideas or worse?
And then other money would have to come from fund balance, and or we have to do some shifting of different projects if we can see that we have some other departments that might have some savings, then we can potentially take it from there as well.
Do you see that money would be available if we did some of this fancy footwork?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Do you see that this money for the staffing would be available if we had some fancy footwork to get shifted? Are you having a hard time hearing us, Director?
I'm missing the last little part of that about, I heard TIF, and I know that's not what was stated.
Yeah, can we use TIF for it?
You might have to repeat the question.
Yeah.
Latonya, what Councilmember Kalinowski was asking was, from the contingency, was there any I'm going to use your words.
With the contingency and other areas of the
budget. No funding was used in contingency in 2025 as of yet. It's just that we're normally, if we have to use any of that money, it will be for any unknowns that potentially may come up, as well as if we have any, you know, sometimes we run over our snow budget. Hopefully that won't be the case, but again, we wouldn't know that until the end of the year.
If we're looking at other areas in the budget to take money from, can we reach this amount that's being requested?
What are you saying? If we're looking at other areas, like if we have like some savings that we would have in the budget, that's what I mean when I say other areas to take like the budget from. Like in the finance department, we have like a procurement department that we have funding for that I haven't been able to provide in, you know, to fill those positions. So we would have some savings there. So we would come up with a strategy to say, let's take maybe $100,000 from the finance department and give that to the fire department for 2025. We would have to come up with a different strategy for 2020 when we're going through the budgeting process for 2026.
Thank you.
All right, so what is, I guess what's the ask here? Is it for us to approve the four and then begin considerations? Because it looks like we're going to have to find other buckets of money if we're going to, four is a short-term fix. Looks like there's a longer-term fix, right? So is the ask for us to approve the four and then start working towards looking at a larger number? Was that the recommendations that I saw?
Mayor Winston.
Oh,
yeah. Could I just jump in really quick? And tonight is a work session,
right.
So we can't take council action tonight. So the proposal is to have a work conversation tonight and then bring it to council next Monday. That was sort of the process. Since I'd love to share just like a little bit of history here, and I think it could be beneficial to the council as well. So, and Joe and Jeff and Rob and Dan, make sure I'm getting these dates right too, because just a little bit of history. So back in 16-17, we were running six firefighters plus a battalion chief in our combo department, right? So we had a combination of full-time and part-time and a battalion chief, so six firefighters. We worked very closely with the firefighters, especially the union. At that time, there was something called this relief pension. The firefighters, a combination of the firefighters giving up that relief pension plus the city putting additional resources in, freed up the fire state aid dollars, which allowed us to add nine additional firefighters. So we were able to move up from six and a battalion chief to nine and a battalion chief. And then about 2021, 2022, we were successful in getting the SAFER grant. And that meant adding an additional 12 firefighters or four per shift, so we were able to move up to where we are today, which is 13 plus the battalion chiefs. That's the 14. So I know most people on council are relatively new, and so just want to paint a little bit of the history of this journey that we've been on with the union and the firefighters and the leadership of fire in terms of getting to where we are today. Nobody ever expected that we'd be in a scenario where we'd have 12 people at one time on leave like we are today, and so this is really unique. So I just want to highlight that fact of that we've sort of had this perfect storm in the worst type of way at this moment. You know, all that said, we have come a long way, and we're in terms of the ISO rating, we have the tied for the highest ISO rating in the state of Minnesota, and no fire department's higher, so that's good news. But we do need to solve this short-term and long-term firefighter challenge. And so the request from council is to being able to, you all approve a budget each year that allows us to hire a certain number of staff in the fire department, police department, and so on. And we're asking to exceed that number because some of the people on that list of leave, we're still paying. They're, you know, because of the type of leave they're on, we're just not able to, you know, they're not in a situation where they're able to jump on a rig. And so our our overtime budget, we've already exceeded our 2025 overtime budget for the year. And so it's very likely, while there might be some cost savings in the regular salaries at the moment, our overtime budget succeeded. But by doing this, we do expect that it's going to put tons of pressure on the fire department budget for 2025 and potentially have to tap into the contingency or do some of this other shuffling as was just exchanged with CFO Crean. So, you know, we're prepared to do that. We know that we need to meet this challenge head on for short term and then have those long term conversations. We're about ready to enter the 2026-2027 budget discussions with council. Those will kick off in September, so the timing's really good in terms of that longer term conversation. But the request is, the short term request is to hire those additional four off of the eligibility list. But that's not going to solve our immediate challenges because of the probationary timing that it takes to bring people on. So again, I just want to provide a little bit about that history, that background, and that I think that we have made good strides. We find ourselves in such a unique, crazy situation with all of these leaves, but we still have some short-term and long-term challenges that we need to address. So just want to summarize it for folks.
Yep. I'm just trying to get the timeline right in my head just to make sure. So we have three that are coming on board now, Friday. If we approve this additional four, they would join 60 or 90 days out. But that's still a 6 to 9 month window before those seven people actually start reducing overtime. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any academic research in the field about like number of overtime hours worked versus injury?
There is. Mayor Winston, members of the council, council member Erickson, when ISO's recommendation is that you have six people per company. So for us, what that would look like was of our four units are in service, we would have 24 people. The reason why they choose six is averages. So four of those six are always working. Those two can be utilized other areas in the department if they're not, if somebody isn't out injured on vacation or any type of leave or sick. Because once those one of the four goes out, they're just there to backfill. And so what it does is it allows more of that R&R time, that rest and relaxation for departments to maintain staffing. And you don't have these big fluctuations of I'm low on staffing and I'm high on staffing. I'm low on staffing and I'm high on staffing. Minneapolis and St. Paul use pools. So when I worked in Minneapolis, there was 125 people per shift, 26 companies, but there was a pool of firefighters. So if any one of those 26 companies, somebody was out on vacation, there was pool staff that would just go and work in their spot for the day, never having to pay overtime, because they just worked. And it worked out to where it was more normed, to where you don't see those swings. So it's different for every municipality and department that way.
But there's a not unlikely possibility that that list of 12 could grow to 14, 15 before these additional four were even awarded.
Yes. To include, we're still seeing people trying to steal one another because people aren't coming into the profession.
So, and just to clarify, I think I wasn't saying we make the decision today. I do think that when it's brought back to the council, it's around that immediate approval. I think you probably have most people are interested in that immediate approval. I think secondarily, though, we need to begin the conversation of what does it look like to improve, to not improve, to have more full-time staff come on to deal with these particular issues. I think that needs to be a second portion, part of it. But this is aimed at Director Crean. If you can, you can hear me. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. So it's odd that you can hear me, but my 9-year-old just never hears me. So, but
I was having challenges earlier, so we're good.
So I'll say this. I do think, though, that we need to be looking at, okay, the contingency fund, what's there, and I want to see what is most likely available, but something, because you were saying there may be some other draws potentially against that, so I'd like to see what those other potential draws could be. And then in addition, I would like to see maybe, as we begin this, we're probably going to have to free up money in some other areas of the budget, and this may be starting earlier than we'd like, but what are some potential other areas that we have to take from to do that, because I think we have increased the last 2 years. So it's going to be very difficult to increase to the same extent we did last year. So what does the contingency fund look like? What are the potential draws against it? And then what are some potential other areas that we can do to fully, because public safety is going to be that priority. What are some other areas that we could potentially pull from to make this occur? That'll allow us to have a sensible conversation. And of course, the immediate thing is going to be getting those four folks on board. So that's what I'm hearing from the council.
Yeah, Mayor Winston, council members, that is a real analysis that needs to take place. It's just unfortunate that almost every department is having some level of challenge. It seems like we've been investing a lot in the fire department, and I'm not saying the needs are not valid or real. They have been. You know, we've had to invest in some apparatus, so we've been doing that. We've been investing in personnel. Again, we could not have predicted that we would have 12 positions that would be out on some leave, or either on some new positions that will be on some probationary leaves. And it's just like it's not as I would just call them traditional type of city hall type positions, where you can just post the position and within a couple months you can have someone on board. We can post a position and potentially have someone on board in a couple months, but they still won't have the training that they need in order to be able to work alone. You know, so it's just a two-edged sword, is because we still are going to have this overtime challenge, even if we, we give the chief everything that he's asking for, we're still going to have this challenge at least for 8 to 12 months. We'll still have the same level of challenge. And then we still have, you know, a lot of other challenges that we have. We haven't been having a lot of debt, and we're going to have that coming up real soon here, within 2025 and 2026. So we have to look at the whole picture and try and be strategic when we're making these decisions. And I 100% agree that public safety is our number one goal. I mean, and that is the type of investment that we've been making in our budget. I will say last year we did make some investments into other areas within the city. And when I'm saying that, you know, the council has been very supportive of the comp study. So it doesn't feel like the support departments can actually feel like, you know, they're not being left out. So we've been spreading it out. It's just that we have so many needs. You know, I come to you and I tell you that we have the benefits fund, you know, that's, you know, kind of behind, and we have a workout plan for that. When I first started, and even before I started, we had like all of our internal service funds. We was trying to make sure that we just have challenge after challenge after challenge, and we just have to, every time we think we're getting out of it, out of one thing, we jump into another thing. So, you know, but who would have ever imagined that we jump out of that, then we jumped into COVID. We jumped out of COVID. It just seemed like it's always something. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not, I don't know what you call those cars that the police used to have, the Ford Intrepids or something like that. You know, whatever it is, it's like the cars would cost one thing, and then who would ever guess that it would go up? The inflationary cost would go up as much as it did. It's just like we just seem to be constantly facing something. And I agree with you, Mayor, that, you know, we cannot potentially keep going back to the public and saying, you know, the percentages that we have been saying, but if we're not going to do that, we have to determine what it is that we're not going to do. And with that, it's just like we've been functioning so bare bone for so long. I mean, I heard the fire chief today say that, you know, well, 14 is really not where we should be, and almost every department that we talk to will tell you that same story. and I'm not saying it's a like a lie story, you know, that's that's our reality, the reality that we're dealing with.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So I think what you're
saying. I'm in Louisiana, so you know I can't say the word lie, and I when I was a kid I would say story, so that's why I connected those two.
So I just say that I do think we're just gonna, I hear you that we've been in this mode, but I do think that we're just gonna have to be prepared to, doesn't have to be a machete, but I think we are gonna have to say maybe some areas are scalpels and that adds up to a certain number, but I do think that we're gonna have to just be prepared for that mode, and so any assistance with that is gonna be appreciated because we do have to make sure, you know, and I'm always, you know, loathe at all to discuss staff. I think we're doing this so that we can have the staffing, right? But we just have to be willing to make some difficult decisions coming up with this budget decision. Mm-hmm. So that's all. I'll leave it at that. I don't know if anybody else, Councilmember Page.
Thank you, Mayor. I just feel it's important to say, because I know you have to sort of be the money manager and give us the good and the bad, but it just feels like this department is so health-wise affected by the the lack of the full department. I don't know, again, the right words here, but I think we should be careful to say or burden or stress this department that we're, you know, taking money from another department to give to them. They haven't been whole. So I feel it's important to say that. I feel that we have to look at some other means of monies. And I don't know how that works, if we direct those in emails of ideas that we have on a discussion. So maybe share that with me on what, if we have some other thoughts, do we set, we share those with you and with Jay of like some other possibilities that are not another department that we could access and maybe have as options for the meeting next week? Is it next week? Is it the, yeah. So is that how we, is that the normal, is that what we do? Is
Mayor Moore said, Councilmember Page, oh, I'm sorry, these are some, you know, some waters that we haven't charted in quite some time. So with the uniqueness of it, I would say like if there is anything that you think that would be like that you believe might be some savings that is potentially out there, I would say if you would share those with, and I'm just gonna say you, Jay, if you would share those with Jay, because I mean, just like we just mentioned about you know, take it from one department to give to another, we want to try and balance that with between the relationships that we have between the departments. So I think if we can, you know, look at those and kind of bake those a little bit and you know, even provide some additional context to council members before it kind of get out to everyone, I think might be beneficial for us as well. And Jay, if I overspoke, you can chime in. Sometimes I just talk. So I'm not sure if you're saying something, but I can't hear anything.
Well, I was just confirming.
Okay.
For the unrestricted funds, there was a question when we did the audit last week, if that fund was trending the same or upward, because our requirement was like for those, and I'm using the wrong words, but it was the 35 to 50%, and we were at 46%.
Yeah, that's the fund balance.
Okay, so for that,
yeah,
on a year-to-date, did we find out, are we, I know Molly had mentioned she would check on that, are we steady and trending upward or steady and trending downward on those funds? Because I think our information was through 23? No,
yeah, 20. The information that we received in the past would have been, meaning the last audit that we just did was for 2024, where going into really the seventh month of 2025, we just, when I say we're going into it, it's our eighth month, but what we have reported for is through 7 months. We just mentioned that council has been very supportive of the comp study, And the second half of that comp study went into effect on 7-1. So when we looked at the budget overall, potentially we had some savings, but because we're just now starting to see that on this paycheck that will be coming out on Wednesday, then we'll just start to see that, and then we can do some projections for what that would look like. And the reason why we have that is we had some additional steps that was added to some of the grades, and being able to calculate, do some projections as it's based on that, and we'll be able to do that. But I think we're going to be fairly close. We're not going to have a lot of savings in 2025 that we had in that we've been having like the past 3 years. And a portion of that will be because we have all these overtime costs that we have now, and we have we had a wage reopener for our police department as well as the comp study.
So then that's directly affecting, I'm talking specifically about that percentage of, like, do we know right now what our percentage is for that?
So it's based on the next year's budget. So when we did the 2025 budget, we have to be within that 35 to 50%. So when we did the 2024, we are within that range, but we're not at the 50%. And right now we're about 45%. And that's what we are. But because we still just starting to see the next phase of, well, we will see that, the next phase of what our budget is going to look like. When I say budget, what our expenses are going to look like because of the July 1 market adjustments, we'll be able to tell you if we're falling within that. Again, we have some vacancies in there, but we're filling those vacancies, right? We're trying to fill those positions really quickly. And sometimes we don't hear about the vacancies until later, or we just have this turnover that's been there. But when I'm looking at the budget overall, it seems like we're going to, of course, I think we're going to come in between that 5 to 10% of not spending our budget. And I'm only talking about the general fund right now, because that's really what it kind of affects. We're going to have that 5 to 10% is I think, where we would fall and having some savings there if we have anything. Because I don't know where this overtime is going to go. I don't know if you're going to say fill these positions. But whether we fill the positions or have the overtime, I think it makes more sense to fill the position than to constantly fatigue the firefighters that we have right now. I know you didn't ask me for that part, but
I appreciate that. And that got my brain where it needs to be, because it's more about we haven't finalized those numbers. So that
we won't be able to finalize those numbers for the what that range is for the requirement that we have from the from the state auditor's office. We won't be able to do that until after we go through the 26 budget. So when we go through the 26-27 budget, it has to be of that next year's number, and we don't have those numbers yet.
Thank you. I know you said that a couple times, but I got it this time, so I appreciate that.
That's my first time saying it tonight, though.
Oh, it is good. Thank you.
Okay.
See you next stroke.
Just a couple of things. Thanks, Mayor. Just a couple of things to add on to CFO Green's comments. We also are anticipating some potential other uses for some of the fund balance, including some amount towards that future PUPS facility. The fund balance could be a source for those dollars. Over the last 8 to 10 years, we've been transitioning our fire apparatus or our fire trucks onto the fleet plan to get put away savings every year to eventually replace the apparatus. There are a few of the apparatus that have not been put on that cycle, and we know that at least is it one or two, Latonia, that we anticipate needing to use the fund balance to pay for the upcoming engine and ladder truck.
It's all I know is it's $800,000. So maybe the chief can tell you which trucks we have out there. The bill that we have is $800,000, and I can't tell you if that's one or two.
Okay.
I just know it's the truck that's being built right now. That's what we're paying for.
Got it. So the chief saying it's part of the ladder, because I think the ladder in total is
the ladder, then, yep.
$2.1 million. So,
yeah, so next year we have $800,000 that's going towards this truck. This year we have a little over $400,000 that was going to the truck, but that was a plan that council made to use to spend down the fund balance to take care of this this truck at that point in time. And I'm probably saying the wrong name because I call them all trucks, engines, ladders. I'll eventually get it. But thank God I have the police chief there. I mean, the fire chief there to let me know.
Yeah, you don't want the police chief talking about this.
Oh, no.
We need you to get the numbers. That's all. We need the numbers. So
my point was that, you know, if we're ballpark 45%, we also have some future obligations that we need to be conscious of as a council and staff as well.
Yeah, we have the requirement where we have the state requirement where we have the state. At the minimum that we can have is 35%. So we have to at least have that. Plus, we're planning on selling bonds. If we want to sell bonds, we don't want to hover around that 35% because we want to make sure we get a good rate. So I wouldn't suggest like spending down all of the fund balance that we actually have to take care of some of the needs that we have until. Spend it down after we have the bond sale, right? So again, when I'm talking about being strategic, we have to be strategic with all of those. So we have the bond sale. We have some of the planned uses that we already had in place for the apparatus. Then we have some capital projects, and that could be an additional, as we continue to have conversations, we think of additional uses. At one point in time, we talk about maybe we could have used some of that money. So we have to be careful too, that we don't spend the fund balance on spend more of the fund balance than we actually have, because we spend it five times over.
So I'll go ahead.
We're not going to do that though. I'm going to stay on top of it.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start closing it out. I'll say this: I think the council has made it very clear how much we value the fire department, mm-hmm. the staff, the fire department. I think we've been doing that since day one. We've been doing that, but I do want to make this clear as well that. No, it's not an attempt to say that if we finance you being fully staffed, we're going to have to take from someone else. I don't think that's an attempt. I don't think that's what's being done. Whether it's a reality or not is something that we as a council have to face and we have to deal with, right? But I think we made it very clear that public safety is a priority, and I think there would be no better time to make that public because we're not just talking to you as a fire department. This is also going out to the public, and we're having a conversation with the public as we have this meeting, right? So I'm pretty sure that the council is inclined to say, how do we get the fire department fully staffed, same way we are with the police department. I do think, however, that given that we've had to have levies the past few years, because we have had to invest in some things that we just did not think, we are going to have to sit down and say, where are some strategic places that we either have to cut back on or we have to slow down growth in. And that's just the reality of what we're gonna have to do. And I just want to level set that for us as a council, because we're not just talking to the fire department, right? That's a decision that we will have to make as a council. And residents are looking to hear that as well. So I think we made it very clear our support. And I think we've been very clear that we're happy with what we're seeing with the fire department, what we're seeing with public safety in general. But I also just wanna make that very clear, especially since Director Green is on the line and we have, you know, City Manager Strobel, that we are going to have to move in that direction so that we can do the things that we need to do as a city. It's not a knock on anyone. I think when we look at ourselves as a city council and as staff, I don't think, you know, I think we're all one team here. So saying, well, for me to have this, I've got to rob Peter to pay Paul or do this. No, that's why we're a council. That's why we have Dr. Green. That's why we have City Manager Strobel. That's why we have Director Level, because we have to sit down and have those very real strategic conversations. And so that's where I'm coming from when I make that particular statement. And I think the majority of the council, from what I've been hearing, is there as well. But I also just want to level set so that when we actually get there, that we are ready to make some of those very difficult decisions, because we made other difficult decisions in terms of levy. Now we're going to make some difficult decisions to say, how do we somehow slow that so that residents don't feel like they're getting priced out, and this is just one of many factors that enters into that equation. But we are with you in terms of understanding the very real impacts in terms of family life. We want injury prevention, we want all of those things, right? So I think we are there with you, but what are we gonna do as a council to make sure the budget can accommodate that is another question that we will have to do. So I wanted to have that discussion with Dr. Green. I wanted to see Manager Strobel here, and then I wanted the council here for that, and that's why I made that particular statement. So having said that, I think we've communicated both to our fire chief and to Director Green, to Samantha Strobel, what we're looking for at that upcoming meeting. Having said that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, Latonya.